Welcome to the Vineyard Cincinnati podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from one of our weekend services. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.
About 20 years ago, I was living in North Carolina, and I remember going to a doctor's appointment. At this doctor's appointment, I told them my symptoms, and they decided to test my blood sugar levels. And when they got the reading back, they looked at me and they asked, what did you have for breakfast? And I thought, I don't know, cereal. And they're like, well, because your blood sugar is in the 400s. I'm like, is that bad? Like, you know, today we believe your life is going to change. They got the doctor. Doctor came in and they diagnosed me type 2 diabetes. And just like that, life as I knew it would radically change from that day. So I went to diabetic management classes. You know, I started to get my health on. I started to drink more water and starting to watch. I had to watch what I ate, y'all, you know. So I broke up with little Debbie. And, you know, I did what I needed to do. I went from a 220 to 200 just like that. I was killing it, but fast forward, I met Jesus. I gave my life to Jesus, and I learned that not only does he speak today, but that he heals today. And I'm like, yo, you mean to tell me that Jesus heals today? And then I had people, like, tell me that they got healed with diabetes and all these things, and I'm like, oh, snap, I'm going to lean in. I'm pressing in. So I had people praying for me. I had, you know, everyone that I can find pray for me to be healed. And every time I would check my blood sugar, my blood still indicated that I had type 2 diabetes. I'd be wrestling with this. I'd wrestle with that. And some of you here today probably feel where I'm coming from, because some of you here still need a breakthrough. You may be in this battlefield of delay, or this battlefield of maybe doubt, or wondering if there's going to be a breakthrough or a closure to this thing you're in. We've been in a season where we're preaching, not a series. We're in a season where we're preaching Jesus. We're talking about how Jesus is healer, how Jesus is mighty. He's the heavyweight champion of the world, how he's victor, right? How he's redeemer. But truth be told, sometimes it may not feel like it. There are days where we wonder, Lord, where are you at? It doesn't feel like you are champion right now. It doesn't feel like you're healer, you're redeemer right now. And there are some here still waiting for a breakthrough. And it can be nauseating seeing everyone else get their breakthrough, scrolling on social media, seeing on Facebook and on Insta, like everyone else moving in breakthrough, everyone else getting things done for them. But what about me? That guy got healed of cancer. Lord, I still have cancer. You know, they got healed of mental illness. What? I'm still struggling with this mental thing. You know, their marriage, oh, God, that's good for them that you redeemed and restored their marriage, but mine's still on the rocks. I know, Lord, you hold all things together, but it doesn't hold. It feels like you're holding anything for me. It feels like everything is falling apart. That's a real place that we can be in. But what's God have to say about this? What's he teaching? What's he doing? I believe personally, I believe he's redirecting us to a key ingredient that separates us from the rest of the world. I believe he's reminding us of our greatest possession. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about our faith. I'm talking about our faith. So today, I want to talk about faith. Not George Michael style. Only like a quarter of the room left because hardly anybody got that joke. So I'm going to put that one on the shelf. Today I'm going to talk about faith. Let's talk about faith, and let's lean in this message entitled Our Greatest Possession. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, will you just come and have your way? I want to say what you're saying. do what you're doing, Lord. And Father, may your people, may we all get what it is you want us to get today for your sake. Amen. In Luke 22, there's a banger verse that I want to catapult from before we get into where we're going to land today. And there's this discussion between Jesus and Peter on the week where it's about to get real. He's about to go to the cross, you know. And in this discussion, I see it more like a prophetic heads up. Luke 22, it reads this. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you. Okay, that's crazy. Okay, Jesus, I mean, wow. You know, Jesus is saying to Peter, hey, the enemy really hates your guts, really does not like you. He wants to steal, kill, destroy you. He wants to pluck you out the Father's hand. But check it out. I've prayed for you. What did Jesus pray for? How did Jesus pray for Peter? Carries on. But I've prayed for you that your faith, someone say faith. That your faith may not fail. Notice what he didn't pray for. He didn't pray for good health. He didn't pray for his family to be protected. All that's good. But he didn't pray for none of that. He didn't even pray that his ministry blow up and grow to be off the hook. His anointing, his platform, his gifting as a communicator, his gifting as a whatever it is he had to do. He didn't pray for none of that. What did he pray for? His faith. He prayed for his faith that it may not fail. That it may not fail. Wow. So, church, I believe our faith is our greatest possession. I believe our faith is our greatest possession. And we see this tied in themes throughout Scripture, time and time and time and time again. Click with me, turn with me to Mark 5. If you're not there, go ahead and go there. We're going to be landing there for the rest of this message. Here, we pick up where Jesus, his ministry is off the hook. I mean, his ministry is bonkers right now. At this point right now, everybody and their mama know about Jesus. I mean, he's healing paralytics, is in dramatic style. He's going after, like, the demonic, like, he's casting demons. He casts a legion of demons out of this guy. I mean, crazy stuff is happening everywhere he goes. So everywhere he moves, he has crowds following him. Everybody wants a piece of Jesus. And so in this particular setting, he comes off the boat, off the Sea of Galilee. He's on the beach. And as soon as he steps foot on the beach, boom, there's a crowd coming. Yo, Jesus is in the house. Ah! Everybody's just thronging on him and all that. Like, yo, give me Jesus. And in this one particular crowd, Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, he's got a guy that looks after the place of worship. Jairus comes in this crowd, and he's like, I need to talk to Jesus. Jesus, where are you at? And this is what Jairus says. He says this, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. And he went with them. Jesus and Jairus, they started going to Jairus' house. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. Here's a Jewish man who needs breakthrough now. Now, like he has an urgent dilemma, an urgent matter now. He needs breakthrough, but there's a problem. It is cray-cray out there. Everybody wants a piece of Jesus. Everybody's vying for attention with Jesus. Jesus, 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 heal me. Jesus, Jesus, feed me. Jesus, Jesus, teach me. Whatever it is, right, that they need, right? And Jairus is like, yo, Jesus, come on, man, come on. Let's go. My daughter is dying. Come on, leave him alone. Leave him alone. My daughter, come on, let's go. Jairus is like in desperate need. And then, on top of all that, the most unsuspecting person interrupts everything and steals the show. Steals Jesus' attention, his heart, and all that. Who is this person? The most unsuspecting person in the whole crowd. It's an unclean woman. What? An unclean woman? Yeah, let me tell you about this unclean woman. She doesn't have a name in Scripture, but this woman had a mysterious bleeding problem. She had this bleeding problem for 12 years where, it's crazy, she went to everywhere. She went to physician after physician, person after person, paying buku bucks just to try to figure out her situation so it could stop. The bleeding needs to stop. But every time she saw whoever she saw, they had no answer for it. They didn't know what was going on. And worse, her bleeding kept going. It kept going. Her situation got worse. Anyway, she was just, in disarray. She had to live in isolation. See, she was unclean. We all know what it's like to live in isolation in COVID, right? I mean, come on. I mean, that's the worst. And so she's desperate for a healing. Then she hears that Jesus is in town. Whoa, Jesus? He's here? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to Jesus. I did not go to Jesus yet. I know he can heal me. I've been bleeding for 12 years. You know what? I'm desperate. I'm going in. I'm not supposed to go in public. I'm not supposed to go around crowds. I'm unclean. Yes, I can be stoned. Yes, I can be killed, but I don't care. I'm going in and I'm going to see Jesus. And my plan, here's my plan. I'm going to just get close enough, incognito enough, just to touch the hem of his garment. And that's all I need to do, because I know he can heal me. That was his plan. That was the plan of this unclean woman. It was a risky plan. It was a cray-cray plan. She could have lost her life type plan. She's about to be an unclean woman touching a rabbi plan. That's no-no. But that's what she does. So what she do? She goes in. She actually follows through. She's, the crowd is everywhere. It's going bananas. But she's, incognito, a woman out there, unclean, not supposed to be out there in the crowds. Now read Leviticus 12. It's real for unclean people to be anywhere in public, right? So the law was real. Everybody was ready to stone you for breaking the law. Bam, bam, bam. Jesus, where you at, Jesus? Okay. I'm just touched the hem of, oh my goodness, I feel like I got healed. I feel like I'm healed, I'm set free. And then what happens? It says this in verse 30, and Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples laughed at him, said to him, "You see the crowd pressing all around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?' Are you kidding me, bro?" That's all in the Greek. They had to paraphrase. And he looked around to see who had done it. This was a big deal for Jesus. Stop everything. Pause. I need to find out who touched me. I need to find out what's going on. And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in, fear and trembling. Almost sort of like how we got to work out our faith, right? Fear and trembling. And fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Again, this woman had to be shook because the risk she took. She had to be shook. She had to be shaking in fear. Like, oh, no, I just touched the rabbi. I'm a goner right now. Everybody's going to I'm exposed right now. So, I'll just go ahead and just be real. Tell the whole truth. Nothing but the truth. So help me, God. Like, I'm in this. But how did Jesus respond? Mark 5. And he said to her, "Daughter." Someone probably needs to hear that right now. Daughter. Wow. What a great relational word right there. There's relationship. Daughter, your faith has made you well. go in peace and be healed of your disease. Jesus did the opposite of what any rabbi would have done, any teacher would have done. He didn't condemn. He didn't hate. He didn't ask, what in the world are you thinking? No. He said, daughter, your faith has made you well. I commend you for your faith. What are we learning about our faith? Faith is oftentimes spelled R-I-S-K. There's risk in faith. Faith oftentimes looked like taking risk. Meanwhile, though, Jairus, he's still out there like, oh, great, bravo. Like, it's great that you got your healing, okay? Great, but Jesus, can we go to the house now? Let's come to the house. My daughter is dying. Did you forget about my urgent need? And then next thing you know, a guy comes from the house to tell Jairus that, yo, your daughter's dead. Don't even bother the teacher. You know, just let him go. Let's go back home and bury your daughter, man. And it got real for him. Jairus is like, oh, goodness, are you kidding me? And Jesus, he's dealing with the crowd, but yet still overhears what's going on with Jairus. And Jesus is like, hey, Jairus, do not fear, only believe. Now, at this point, if I'm Jairus, I have two choices. On one hand, I can say, Jesus, who do you think you are? I told you to hurry up. I told you to move when I told you to move. I had a request. It's my request, and you didn't honor my request when I needed you to honor my request. And now because of your lack of action, my daughter is dead. Talking about do not fear, only believe. She's dead. Forget it. Like, you got one option. You can go ahead and go offensive on it and get mad about it. On the other option, you can be like, okay, huh? Let me think about this. You're telling me not to fear, only believe? Maybe you're inviting me to believe like you believe. What do you believe about my current circumstance, Jesus? Okay. Fine, Holy Spirit, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. What do you believe about who I am and what I'm called to do, Lord? Okay, well, you know what? Holy Spirit, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. I want to believe like Jesus believes. Or what do you believe about resurrecting dead things to life, like the Bengals winning the Super Bowl, Lord? Okay, well, you know what? I believe too. Holy Spirit, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. Jesus asks. You know, so Jairus, he trusts Jesus and he arrives. They go. Obviously, Jairus chose option two. He didn't get offended. He could have got mad. He could have got frustrated. He just chose option two. He went home with Jesus. They won't go home. And as soon as they go home, they're met with all kinds of mourning. They're met with all kinds of moaning and groaning and weeping and commotion, all this and that, because of the 12-year-old daughter who just passed away. And of course, that's most likely what's going to go down, right? It's obvious. But when Jesus comes on the scene, he asks probably the most silly question in the face of the world. What's he say? He says, hey, why are you making a commotion and weeping? Whoa, who are you? Who are you? Like, what are you talking about? Why are we weeping? Don't you know that there is a girl that just died? Like, who is this guy, Jairus? Why did you bring him into the crib, bro? Like, get him out of here. And then he carries on with the next thing he says is just as mind-blowing, if not more. He says this, the child is not dead, but sleeping. Are you kidding me? They laughed at him. They jeered him. They're like, you are nuts. And you know what Jesus' response was? He kicked everybody out who couldn't believe that this girl was sleeping. He kicked everybody out. That gives us biblical permission to kick everybody out your house, out at that Super Bowl party you're going to throw, if they don't believe that Bengals can win the Super Bowl. Kick them out. Get out of my house. You got biblical permission. So anyways, he kicks everyone out. And then he has only the people who believe that this girl's really still sleeping. And hey, watch this miracle. And as soon as he goes in, hey, Tabitha, rise up. Rise up. What'd she do? She gets up like nobody's business, and she walks around like it wasn't nothing. What? Because Jesus has the power to resurrect dead things to life. Jesus has the power to resurrect the dead. This is crazy. Everybody's like, oh, what is going on? Tabitha's alive. This is nuts. Not only is faith. What else are we learning about faith? Not only is faith spelled R-I-S-K, but faith also makes a fool of what makes sense. It makes a fool of what makes sense. It's not, you're not supposed to do that, Jesus. Well, you know what? All things are possible for those who all things are possible for those who believe and have faith in God. Listen, in the world's eyes, it's natural to allow the fear of what others think to choke our faith. It's natural to allow doubt and worry and oh no, I'm gonna drown in this thing to choke our faith. It's natural, right? But faith is counterintuitive. Faith is upside down. Faith makes a fool of what makes sense. And faith is also spelled S-T-A-Y. Stay. Stay the course. Stay with him. Stay in him and watch what happens. Faith is this amazing privilege we get to behold, y'all. Faith is our greatest possession. And faith, when used right, is a weapon. Do not fear, Jesus says. Only believe. About 2 weeks ago, Joseph and Jerry shared a cool story with me. They were like, yo, Clay, you know, they didn't say yo. When you came, when, you know, the other day when you called out from the stage a person with shoulder pain and you know, it was, you spoke it in faith and someone received it in faith and someone came up to, they came up to receive prayer for shoulder pain. And what happened is we prayed in faith. We didn't know what was going to happen. After a third round of healing prayer, this lady can raise her arms above her head without any pain. We were like, praise the Lord. And I'm like, whoa, come on. That is amazing. Praise God. And he's like, you know, Clay, you called out in faith. She received in faith. She responded in faith. We prayed in faith, and she was healed in faith. And I'm like, wow, that is awesome. And if you want to learn more about this stuff that we've been doing, we got testimonies like this pouring in like a dime a dozen now. It's amazing how many testimonies like this and more are pouring in. God is doing something big in this church, in this city, in this state, in this country. Y'all, he is doing something big. And if you want to learn more about this stuff or how to get involved, Breakthrough Ministry, we'll be having a vision meeting February 20th in the big room after 11:30 service, February 20th. You can come check it out. If you can't make it to that vision meeting, then get your phones out. Everybody get your phones out and text BREAKTHROUGH to 513-440-6444. 513-440-4464. You can text breakthrough. Why? You can be added to the text group where we'll be sending you updates. We'll be sending you God's stories. We'll be sending you opportunities for training. We'll be sending you just, you know, just things that God is doing and how he's moving, and how he's grooving, because this thing is that we are on, this wave of power and authority, this wave of grace that we're on is amazing. We want to keep the party going. So if you want to learn more about that stuff, let's get down with the get down. Back to my story. I started telling at the top. I've been diagnosed with diabetes for 20 years. Doctors, they're telling me. People, oh, everybody's telling me. Clay, you know, you're going to be living with this stuff for the rest of your life. Get used to it. And you know what? It gets me mad, to be honest with you. It gets me upset and angry kind of to like think that I got this thing. You know why? Because I got a family history of this stuff. Man, about 10 years ago, I found out my aunt, she had to get double amputated feet because of this stuff. I'm like, oh, no, what? And then she passed away because of it. And then her sons, both her sons, my cousins, before they can turn 21, one of them, he passed away because of this diabetic complications. And then this other one, he didn't even make 30. Gone because of diabetes. And I'm like, oh, this makes me so mad, Lord. Like, and I got this thing, and I want to be released from it. I want to be released from it. And I know that I see other people getting healed, and then I'm like, oh, God, I want to go. I want to get healed. I want to be healed from this thing. And yeah, I can live in this place of doubt sometimes. I can live in this place of kind of a low-key worry. And what's going to happen to me, Lord? Am I going out, man? I got half my family, if not three quarters of them, don't even see the age of 60. And I'm like, oh, you know, God, I got problems right now with this thing. You know, I know you can take this away from me, Lord. I've seen you do it. I've been in rooms where people said that they've been healed of diabetes, and I'm like, God, but what about me, Lord? And I can get in this place where I can get angry and bitter or confused or. Then, look, I'm like, man, like God, I'm losing weight. I'm trying to steward my body well, and as a result, I'm losing weight. And I'm asking the doctors, how can I gain weight? How can I get back to where I was? I'm skinny. I'm small. What in the world? And then I got half the church laughing at me. And I'm like, oh, I'm just kicking rocks, mad. Then I come back to the end of the day, and I'm with God. I'm praying, I'm crying, I'm whatever I am doing, and I'm praying about this. I'm like, God, I'll just take this thing from me, take this thing from me. But you know what? At the end of the day, I keep coming back time and time and time and time again to this one realization, is that God is good. God is good, and God is for me. His plans, his promises for me are good for me, and I keep coming back to this thing. Guys, the real breakthrough, this is, even though I don't have a physical breakthrough yet that I'm still pressing into, I don't have that full physical breakthrough yet, but the true breakthrough, church, the true breakthrough for me is that my faith in him did not fail. My true breakthrough for me is that my faith in him did not fail, and I'm going to continue to keep making it a harder place to go to hell everywhere I go. I'm going to continue to see healing, signs, miracles, wonders. I'm going to continue to keep pressing in, even though I can still wrestle with this already and not yet tension that I hate. I can't stand it. I want everything to be already, but then there's this not yet that I have to contend with, that I have to wrestle with in this place. And so here I am saying, God, I mean, I've had that full breakthrough yet, Lord, but at the end of the day, I'm going to keep contending. I'm going to keep ta-da on him. Why? Because he's praying for me. And as he's praying for me, he's praying for you. And what's he praying? How's he interceding in the throne room? He's praying that our faith will not fail. And I feel. And I feel those prayers, not only from him, but from the people. Because there is no way to explain the faith for faith that I walk in daily. It is a gift. This faith is a gift that will continue to keep unpacking and unraveling. And that's my prayer for you, Lord. That's my prayer for you, church, that you receive this prayer from Jesus the King, that your faith may not fail. Even when you don't see a breakthrough, there's a lot of y'all who have not seen breakthrough, have not seen the things that you want to see yet in your life. And that is okay, as long at the end of the day, you know that God is good. That God is for you, that God is with you. He's cheering for you. He's in your corner, and your faith will not fail if he's praying for you. The enemy wants to sift you all like wheat. Trust me, he wants you thinking like the world. He wants you behaving like the world. But yo, wake up. Jesus is praying for you that your faith may not fail. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We bless you, Lord. We pray that we thank you for your son and how he's praying for us right now, that this faith, we can move from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous shall walk by faith, shall talk by faith, shall live by faith. And that's what pleases you, Lord. That's what pleases you. So we bless you and we say, have your way in our lives. And may our faith increase all the more. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all, let's stand up, because I'm about ready to worship. Stand. Oh, what we're going to do is we're going to worship. As we worship, y'all, there's communion stations all throughout here. Remember, communion is open. Let's go ahead and take communion if you feel led, and be reminded that it's our union that communion reminds us. It's our union in him. And in that union, there's this gift called faith that keeps us moving, keeps us grooving with him. So let's worship, and I'll be back for ministry.
So we pour out our praise to you all. give you our praise. Can have it all, yeah. Oh, yeah, and all the earth will shout your praise, and our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, sing great.
This morning, and I was reading Psalm 37, and in this, I saw something. I was reading in an NASB for the first time, and I saw something that I've not seen before, and I wanted to share that with you. It says this in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Live in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I was like, wow, God. I can cultivate faithfulness here. We as your people can cultivate faithfulness. And I know I've been using a lot of Bengals metaphors and all that stuff, because a lot, you know, Bengals are on a lot of people's minds. But if the Bengals can win the city, how much more can our God win this city? And how much more can he do it through sons and daughters who cultivate faithfulness? We can cultivate and saturate this city with faithfulness. We're gonna step into a time of ministry. I wanted to share that with you. I want to step into a time of ministry right now where we allow Holy Spirit to just to do whatever he wants. But in this case, we feel like, you know, God, we not only talks, but he also heals. And there's been in that vein, in that light, in that spirit, we've asked a team of people to pray specifically about this weekend, about what God wants to do, how Holy Spirit wants to move. And so we got them together and we asked them, can you pray about things? What do you feel like Holy Spirit wanted to do physically? Heal physically, deliver physically. And what do you feel like Holy Spirit wants to do emotionally and spiritually?
And so we collected these words and we made a slide for you to show you what we feel like the Lord is doing. And so this is not from me. This is coming from the team of people, volunteers, leaders. Everyone gets to play in this stuff. But if you look up at that screen and you see something that resonates with you, something that's speaking to you, consider that a text message from heaven inviting you for ministry, inviting you for ministry prayer. So I'm going to ask the prayer teams to come up and play your station, and we're going to lean in together. Just to rest on this for a second. Allow this to sink in. And if you don't, I mean, looking at arthritis, I mean, lung. There was a lady last night who said that her arthritis pain was healed. And I'm like, come on, Jesus. I want to look at the emotional, spiritual side, you know, faith, when we don't see breakthrough. If there's breakthrough you need a boost of faith. You don't see the things happening. But you need to be reminded that we walk by faith, not by sight. You need to be reminded that the righteous walk by faith and not by sight, and just to believe in him. Come get prayer. And if you don't see something, if you don't see anything on that screen that doesn't resonate, but I do have something. Come up. Get prayer. So there are prayer teams on the balcony. Yo, don't sleep on the balcony. Prayer time is just as active on the balcony as it is here. In fact, I'm going to tell you right now, we need more people to join the prayer team. So I'm going to be looking. We're going to see a big prayer team event. I pray that we see so many people wanting to pray, we're going to have to say, okay, we got too many. Because we see God moving. So if you see anything up there that resonates with you during this next song, we're going to do ministry. We're just going to allow the Lord to minister. So let's come on up and get prayer. Say, excuse me, to the person next to you. Come up to receive prayer, and let's see what God has in store for you. Thank you.
Trained to pray, we need you. If you're a pastor in the house, a leader in the house, we need you. We have a bunch of people up here for prayer right now. Let's worship.
Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every cry.
is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. Every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. When I don't see it. There's people in this room who may feel like there's no way out, who may feel like you're not listening to them. Church, I want to tell you, God is saying to you right now, I see you, I care, and I understand. And you know, life may not be easy in this world, but one thing He did promise is that He's gonna walk every step with us. And that's God's grace, and that's God's love. And I want to see a church that leaves this place with so much faith that they can say, God, I'll make room for you. I don't care what it is. I don't care what's coming tomorrow. I'm okay with it because I know I have you. Because I know that having you is already more than enough. I want to see people that are so faithful that they believe in you, God. Even when maybe the miracle is not coming yet. Even in the waiting, even in tough moments, even in dark moments, God, I want to see a church that screams hallelujah in the toughest moments, God, because they know they have you. They have the Father, they have the King of Kings on their side, Father. That is the church I want us to be. That is the person I want to be. I want to be somebody that can be happy in the worst moments, that can be joyful in moments where the world could be sad, that can bring joy to others in moments that make no sense. Father, I thank you. I thank you because you care. I thank you because you see me, because you know me, because you know every single person in this room, and you love us. And you care, and he's saying right now, no problem is too small for me, and no problem is too big for me. I understand. I understand. That's what he keeps saying. I understand, and I love you, and I care, and you matter. Father, I pray that there's no more days of us being worried. I know there's going to be tough moments, but I want to know that we're leaving this place, and that every moment that a bad thought comes to our head, that worry comes to our head, that you come and you break that down. You make us know that you are there, that even when we don't feel you, you're working, that you're with me in every moment. It's in your name that I pray today. Amen, church. Amen. And church, if you feel like the words that you saw on the screen, if you feel like one of those resonate with you, or even if it's something else, do not let fear or shame stop you from coming up here and getting prayer. It's so good to see you. I hope you guys have a good rest of your week, and I can't wait to see you next week. We love you guys.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.